And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's happening? Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. Hello and welcome to another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 24 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen with you, producer Bob Bender, along for the ride as well. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty of the fantasy season, Pete. It's a big time of year right now.
What's up, Nick? Skip, the official food delivery app for the NHL, and a couple of teams really stepping up in recent days to get closer to the playoffs, namely the Florida Panthers. Their season looked like it was on the ropes late in the game against the Leafs, right, Nick? And all of a sudden, the tables turned, and things can change with the drop of a hat, man.
They really can. It was like the Undertaker gif where they came back from the dead. They scored with 58.5 seconds remaining in regulation. Then Brandon Montour, who sets the franchise record for points by defenseman, 63. Just so incredible. And it just shows you the margin for error this time. You're razor thin, whether it be the fantasy world or in reality, Pete.
And Nick, Florida Panthers coach Paul Maurice joined the guys at NHL at the Rink this week. So definitely should check that one out. The thing that jumped out to me was like Sergei Bobrovsky was out with an illness. Of course, Spencer Knight not in the picture right now. Alex Lyon delivering a super clutch performance to keep that season alive. So maybe that's a guy, if he's going to be playing more often down the stretch, Nick, that we take a flyer on streaming wise in fantasy.
I wouldn't go that far, but he was so dialed in. A 38 save performance, thrown into the proverbial fire pretty much, because they announced like pretty much 2 hours before puck drop that Sergei Bobrovsky was not going to play in that game. I can't get to that level with Alex Lyon. You look at his body of work throughout his career. You look at his body of work throughout this season. We'll call it a one-off, but he was incredible, man. Like just the shot volume. Auston Matthews was buzzing in that game too, and he had just all the answers in that hockey game. And we love cliches in this world. It was a must-win game. The Florida Panthers took care of business. And I think when you look at the value, you look at that top line in the fantasy world, I still think it's smart to stream some of those guys. Like Eetu Luostarinen, Anton Lundell had a good game. And again, Brandon Montour just deserves all the credit in the world, Pete. This guy was an afterthought. We weren't even discussing Brandon Montour. It was about Forsling. Obviously, it was about Ekblad. It was guys like that. And Montour comes out of nowhere. 63 points. Just think about that.
Right. And the game winner. And Montour has to be considered a top 10 fantasy defenseman for the rest of the season. Matthew Tkachuk, maybe a top 10 overall player. It's surprising to see with that level of success for both guys, especially that Florida won the President's Trophy last year, that they're fighting for dear life right now. But you got to give them credit for that performance in the clutch last night. I was looking a little deeper to point per game players from the Panthers in March: Tkachuk, Barkov, Montour, and Verhaeghe. So their top flight guys are really stepping up. One guy I had a question about, though, Anthony Duclair has not been producing much, Nick. So yeah, is he droppable in the heat of this playoff race because he's not really producing in the top six for Florida?
Without question. You don't even think twice. I'm as high as most people, or a lot of people were going in on Anthony Duclair coming off a really, really good year. I just think you regroup. He's coming off a pretty tough and serious injury. You regroup and you come back strong next year if you're Anthony Duclair, if you're a fantasy owner. But right now, Pete, I got to drop out completely. How about you?
Yeah, I'll hang on to him just because he went through a serious injury. I still like his line mates, Luostarinen, like you said, even if he's with him on the second line. Maybe a little exposure to Sam Reinhart as well when Verhaeghe's up top with Barkov and Tkachuk. I mean, they mix and match. I think that they're going to ultimately get into the playoffs. I trust them more than Pittsburgh. Even Buffalo's re-entered the conversation a little bit. They have a huge game on Friday night against the New York Rangers at home. Sounds like Levi is going to make his NHL debut for that game. So I'm hyped up about it. I'm slotting him into my lineups, and I'm hoping that maybe he can go on a tear over the final couple of games of the season and get Buffalo back within striking distance. If they win that game, they're tied with Florida, I believe, in the standings. So it's and Pittsburgh, I think, has played one fewer game than Florida right now, but it's getting really close. The Islanders have some cushion because they've been playing well.
Yeah, they have. The Islanders have been a great story, and Elias Sorokin specifically has just been standing on his head, and so great to see for that team again, still without Matthew Barzal. You're probably, as per usual, more optimistic than me. Like, I do think it's maybe a three-horse race for the final two playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. I think the Islanders are in. I think Pittsburgh's obviously treading really, really tough right now. And the Florida Panthers, you know, depending on who you ask, you think they're alive, maybe not. If Sergei Bobrovsky is forced to miss a couple more games, I think they're in big time trouble, with all due respect to Alex Lyon, but never say never with that team. And yeah, Buffalo's a team I have circled. Like, I think it would be hilarious if the Rangers, who have a back-to-back, I do think it's a perfect spot to have Levi make his debut. I would go Halak against New Jersey on Thursday and come back with Shesterkin. You want to play hardball. You think you're a playoff team. Your stud prospect goalie is going to play. Well, we're going to put Igor Shesterkin in that game. We know that's not going to happen, but talk about a measuring stick game to start your NHL career against the New York Rangers. That's pretty epic, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, he's been upbeat ever since he walked through the doors in Buffalo, and I'm just excited about his future. You know, not to get ahead of ourselves, to call him a top 10, top 15 fantasy goalie for next year may be a little premature. But again, I just love the direction of Buffalo building from within with the prospect pool and just being patient. And we've already seen some nice glimpses of it this season, right, Nick? I feel like if the season was another month longer, Buffalo would probably get into the playoffs over teams like Florida, maybe over the Islanders, who they beat the other day, right? They shut out the Islanders with Comrie in net. I mean, it's been a cast of characters for them. Now they actually have a legitimate goalie to build the franchise around. So I'm super excited to see him play.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, so if it were Pete Jensen, we'd have 105 games slate and Buffalo would still miss the playoffs by 1 point. I can't get behind this team, Pete. They've missed the playoffs too many times, not to make a joke of it, but they do this every year, a poor start. They try to play catch up midway through the season and ultimately they fall short. On top of that, Tage Thompson's been banged up. I just don't give Buffalo a high shot of making the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you're right. There's a lot of up and coming prospects with that team. Looking forward to the progression of Owen Power. Rasmus Dahlin's been great this year. Alex Tuck's been excellent. Even between the pipes, the potential to have a tandem there with UPL and Devin Levi for the next 10 years is pretty incredible to me, considering the goaltending issues that franchise has had pretty much since Ryan Miller left the scene. So all in all, looking forward to the Buffalo Sabres. I did want to dedicate today's podcast to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Pete. 96 points. A 9-game point streak. I don't know where to rank this guy next year, first and foremost. And he has 50 power play points. 50 of his 96 points have come via the power play this season. What do you make of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins' campaign?
Yeah, incredible. I mean, when you look at Edmonton, they have a real chance. They're likely to have 300-point scorers on the same team, something that heads up to NHL stats crew for delivering this answer. Hasn't been done since 95-96 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jágr, Lemieux, Ron Francis was that trio. So it's been ages since that's happened, and it's likely to happen here. Nugent Hopkins is probably the biggest steal in all of fantasy this year, even though him and Zach Hyman have been producing like clockwork every single night, pretty much. They still fly under the radar because it's hard to rank Nugent Hopkins. I think we only just got him into our top 30 overall, because top 20, top 25, top 30 overall in fantasy for the rest of the season. Like, you really have to step up in a major way and can continue to produce at that level for a long time before you can get that type of recognition. But he's there. RNH, amazing story. And I know he's a former top pick. So it's nice to see this amount to something, and Edmonton have amazing depth scoring compared to previous years.
I just hope Matthias Ekholm can donate a bit of that beer to Nuge for the Stanley Cup playoffs, because he's still lacking. He's still lacking in the beer department. I could speak up for that because I got a great beard. But a 2011 first overall pick, it's been a while. And in fact, I did some further digging since the trade deadline. 1, 2, 3 in the NHL in points, Draisaitl, McDavid, and Nugent Hopkins. Nice. I'm just so curious in general, Pete, how this Oilers team is going to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They've been ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous, on the power play, 32%. But as we know, the well tends to run dry in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's just much different, much harder to score. We'll see what they play in the first round. Maybe it's LA. Maybe it's the Vegas Golden Knights. But it just seems like everything is going the way of the Edmonton Oilers this season. They went to the conference final last year, and I think they're going to give any team in the Western Conference specifically a run for their money this spring.
It's true. I think they're going to have a tough time. As much as they have a chance to go deep in the playoffs, they're going to run into maybe better goalie tandems than they have.
Yeah.
I mean, with Skinner and Campbell, match that up against Korpisalo and Copley. I kind of like the Kings goalie tandem a little more. if Logan Thompson is healthy, which is a big question mark, by the way. He came back, was backing up and stuff like that, but now he's injured again. So maybe it's just Jonathan Quick on his own if they end up playing Vegas. I would probably like Edmonton in a series against Vegas, but Edmonton in a series against LA, I feel like LA's depth is just as strong. Edmonton has the top heavy guys, of course, but the defense in LA is probably better and the goaltending in LA is certainly better. So I don't like the matchup. If it was a rematch between Edmonton and LA, I would probably pick LA to win that.
Looking forward to our playoff preview show in a couple of weeks from now, because handicapping these series are just going to be so difficult. Pete, what's your read on the bottom there in the Western Conference in terms of the playoff race, if you want to call it that? You know, I have the Winnipeg Jets circle to converse about this week, because I think from a fantasy perspective, they could have a massive, massive offseason. I looked at internally some of the numbers and what this meant for fantasy. Pierre-Luc Dubois, RFA, 1 year away from UFA. We all know where he wants to be. That's not Winnipeg. It's not Columbus. It's the Belle Province. 1 year away from UFA for Blake Wheeler, Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuck. I'm telling you, the world's about to explode in Winnipeg when it comes to fantasy perspective, Pete.
That was insane the other night. I mean, if you were trying to predict the slate and you were looking at a matchup of Winnipeg in the midst of a playoff chase, or at least trying to back in, if that's what they're going to do against the Sharks on the road, you would have said Hellebuck would have had maybe one of the best chances of any goalie on the big slate to have a shutout or certainly record a win. Instead, they get shut out against the Sharks in probably their most embarrassing performance of the season, which is saying something. And Rick Bonus called them out. They're on the verge of falling out of this thing right now, and Calgary's right on their tail. And as good as LA has been playing, Calgary just beat LA and ended their 12-game point streak. So Calgary, if they get in, will be sneaky, like Michael Leboff's been saying all season long. And I had Winnipeg and Calgary in the playoffs this preseason. I think Calgary's getting in over Winnipeg. I don't like what I've seen at all.
Yeah, me neither. It just, again, everything stems on Connor Hellebuck in that conversation. And the most disconcerting part is, like, the big boys for Winnipeg are doing nothing. Like, Kyle Connor has one goal in 15 games. Mark Scheifele, 0-9. Blake Wheeler looks more and more like a third-line player. Pierre-Luc Dubois has his moments, but sometimes you don't notice him at all. Like, Josh Morris, he's had a great year, but he's banged up. Believe it or not, I think there's way more question marks with Winnipeg right now than there are the Calgary Flames. And that stems from a question we got via Instagram. What to do with Nazem Kadri? Hold or cut bait? I'm cutting bait, Pete. I've seen enough. If you do recall our YouTube special, not to bring up old times, I got plenty wrong. I said regression candidate Nazem Kadri to Jackie Redmond. I remember this when she was unhappy that nobody selected Nazem Kadri in that draft. Well, here we are. And it's back to Nazem Kadri from like 2 years ago with Colorado. He had an epic contract year, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I mean, Kadri, it's the story of the Flames this season overall. He has a great shot volume, 246 in 75 games. That's near his NHL career high, which is, you know, he's not far from last season with Colorado when he had a career year. He's only one off that. And 260 was his career high with the Maple Leafs in 15-16. But the shooting percentage is low this season. It's below 10%, 9.3. So I think that Kadri, I would probably keep Kadri. Yeah. I just feel like the Flames might have a big finish here in order to get into the playoffs. So it's just been one of those teams where, like, I'm still hesitant to cut a Kadri or a Huberdeau or a Lindholm, just because I feel like they might pop off down the stretch. And again, it's not always how you start. It's how you finish. If they finish strong, they make the playoffs. They go on a run in the playoffs. This could be a distant memory, what they've done to this point in the season. So I would hang on to Kadri, still get you some decent category coverage and stuff like that.
Yeah, perhaps the scar tissue that I've built throughout this season with some of these guys, man, like Jonathan Huberdeau, just waiting and waiting and waiting. Mackenzie Weegar, I've owned Jacob Markstrom at bits and pieces throughout this season. I just can't wait around anymore. I like to make brash decisions come the postseason in fantasy hockey. So I'm probably dumping out. Pete is not on Nazem Kadri. And I hope it works out that way, because it is a long body of work. It is an 82-game slate. And here we are again. Thomas Chabot, Pete, goes down again. Jake Sanderson, he's your internal ad right now, especially without Chychrun in the lineup, especially now without Thomas Chabot. In terms of external replacement options, Justin Falk, a 3-game point streak. Mike Matheson, 10 points in his last 9. Evan Bouchard, 10-10. And Bowen Byram, watching that game on Wednesday, Minnesota and Colorado, hyped me up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, number one, but showed me how good that back end is for Colorado. Byram, 8 points in his past 10. They're so mobile back there, Pete.
Byram has completely broken out here. You could say he did last year in the playoffs, but now he's getting more of the points output and the share in Colorado. It's been partial because the time Makar has missed, but even with Makar coming back, he's keeping it going. It's great to see him healthy with the concussion history that he's had at such a young age. You hope it can stay that way, but this is a guy that is a prized possession in fantasy keeper leagues. Even for right now, rest of season, he's got to be considered a top 20, 25 fantasy defenseman, even playing behind Cale Makar. But he's risen above guys like Gerard and Devon Taves this season. And it's really one of those things where you look at who has the best defenseman duo in the league. You know, maybe it could be Jersey once they get Luke Hughes. They're going to have Hamilton and Hughes. In Buffalo, they have Dahlin and Power. The Rangers have, I guess, Fox and Keandre Miller. They're all up there. But to me, Cale Makar and Bowen Byram as a defenseman duo moving forward is probably the best in the league.
In terms of production, I would tend to agree, and only to amplify the fact that they have Gerard, they have Taves. Like, there's just so much talent on that back end. And again, the way they move the puck, but certainly I think you're bang on the way Makar plays and the way he produces in fantasy hockey. And the fact that I do think a guy like Byram is still restricted, right? I think when you look at what Makar brings to the table, there's usually only one guy who can run that power play. So you start to wonder about like the Haskinen effect, right? Not to compare and contrast and say Makar is like John Klingberg, but if Bowen Byram, Pete, was able to run his own power play and his own blue line, how would he look from a fantasy perspective is my question.
Right. He would probably be like a top five, top 10 blue liner in fantasy for the long term. And in, even in keeper leagues, you got to be considering him among the top, maybe between 6 to 10 among keeper defensemen. But it's tough to keep him in fantasy year to year when he's going to miss so much time because of injuries. So really, that's the one knock on him. It's not his fault, obviously, but it's just something that, right, in fantasy drafts and stuff like that, you have to consider a player's injury history. And unfortunately, that tends to work against him because he can't play a full season. But if there was ever a time where Cale Makar missed significant time and he was playing a full season, sky's the limit. He could be among the top five defenseman scorers in a hurry.
Not to mention, they have to make a decision at some point in time over the next 2-3 years in Colorado, right? It just, in the salary cap world, you can't keep all these guys. And I do think Bowen Byram is a perfect trade candidate in the next couple of years. Speaking of trade candidates, Pete, Brock Besser, welcome back to the party, my dude, because you've been MIA for the majority of the fantasy season. A 3-game point streak, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points. If you're wondering, Vancouver is 16-9-3 under Rick Tocchet. I laugh every season around this time of year because they do their best to get out of the conversation for the first overall pick. They've done it again, which is irony because the first overall pick is a BC native.
Vancouver's offense is for real. I know that they've been rolling with JT Miller playing center with Besser and DiGiuseppe. And then the other line, they have Pedersen and Kuzmenko. Kuzmenko is top 25 in the entire NHL in even strength points. And Elias Pedersen, last I checked, is tied for fifth in the whole league. So Pedersen has had a full-fledged breakout. It's been great to see him healthy. They got a little more depth on the blue line these days. They have their goalies healthy and Thatcher Demko. You're starting to see a lot of the reason why there's still some positivity in that organization, despite some dysfunction, despite some bad signings or trades or previous regimes. Like, they still have that core intact that any given year could go on a run and make the playoffs. And it seems like we try to pick them every year and hope it happens. And they, you know, we have egg on our face and time and time again, but I still am hopeful for the Vancouver Canucks with such an incredible core of offensive players, at least.
I call it empty calorie hockey for this team, man. It's just, they win games when it doesn't matter anymore. And it's like, why are you getting further and further away from Connor Bedard? It never makes much sense. And it sounds like they're going to make some moves in the offseason too. So we'll see on the Vancouver Canucks front. But the coaching change was suspicious as well. Like, why make it then, that point in the season where you're losing some games, you bring in a guy, you're going to get a boost. And that's exactly what's happened here with Rick Tocchet. Another question via Instagram, Tippett Zucker or Backstrom for the rest of this week, Pete? Who do you have?
Probably Zucker. I mean, he's had a 2020 season this year in goals and assists. Him and Raquel have been quietly producing at a very high level. They're not always consistent, but they get you the big performances. And I just, like, I feel like Nicklas Backstrom is not the player he used to be. Age, injury, coming back this year, I just haven't seen it. And then, with Tippett, like, it's that lack of trust with the Flyers and stuff like that. But those Flyers guys have been sneaky. Like, we got Tony D back into our defenseman rankings. Morgan Frost, big game the other day, right? Farabee, we talked about last show. They've been producing here and there. And the Flyers, I'll change my tune on them a little bit. They have some sneaky fantasy appeal down the stretch of the season. What do you think, Nick?
Again, empty calorie hockey. It's great to play the game when there's no pressure to succeed. Again, I'm not burying any team in this league, but it's just different hockey this time of year when you've been done for 3 months. Having said that, do love Owen Tippett. I've been touting this guy for a couple of years. My buddy actually coached him in Mississauga with the OHL. Electric release, and he's going to get better and better. Of course, the key pickup in the Claude Giroux trade last year between Florida and the Philadelphia Flyers. So I do think there's some pieces on that team that I will revisit next year, namely the goaltender Carter Hart. What'd you make of that conversation, by the way? I don't think we've touched on that, that his name could be out there this summer for a trade. It would have to be a ridiculous amount coming back, no?
I just don't know why they would trade still such a young goalie. Like, what are you, even if you're going into a rebuild and you're changing course, like, you could still have him be the centerpiece of your organization. You go out there and hire Tortorella. If he's going to be here again next year, I mean, that remains to be seen, right? He spent the 1 year in Vancouver and then he got fired. It either works or it doesn't with Torts, but I do believe he'll be back again based on what we've seen this season. So to me, Tortorella and Hart should go hand in hand and give that franchise some hope for the long term. So I don't know why they would trade him, but that would be an amazing step for another organization if he could pick up a guy that's been able to probably put up about a 9-10 save percentage, give or take a few percentage points over the past two seasons combined for some pretty bad teams. They're a little better this year, but not by much. So I'm impressed by Carter Hart, what he's done with not a lot of talent around him.
I would agree with that. And I can say that team hasn't been delivering for me much this year, and this week in general actually has been a bit better. But I ask you this: who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I'm going with Sammy Blais from the St. Louis Blues. I mean, some sneaky value down the stretch of the season from Vrana, from Kapanen. We have to make sure to mention Blais, who has a 5-game point streak, 3 straight multi-point games, a bunch of hits. He had 7 hits in a game recently. He's the full package. And for the Blues, it's been all about the return in all their different trades. And they got back a former Blue in Blais. He's delivered in a big way during the fantasy playoffs.
And it's funny you say that. So you remember the Tarasenko trade. I was the first person, by the way, not to toot my own horn, that tweeted out that Sammy Blais was going for the Rangers of St. Louis. And you would not believe my mentions. Well, look what's happened now. Blais back with the team that drafted him, and he's been outstanding. For mine, I'm going to Nuge. They're still chanting that right now in Edmonton. Not Nudes, Nuge. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 2011 first-round pick. 50 of his 96 points have come on the power play, and he's in the midst of a 9-game point streak, Pete. 5 goals, 13 assists, 18 points. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And Pete, last but not least, I think we have to touch on load management, because it's not to the NBA level, but it's here. And this time of year, it has an impact in the fantasy hockey world. There's no doubt about that.
Right. We're going to see different guys sit out that have already clinched. A bunch of teams have already clinched. The Rangers clinched the other day, the Devils. A couple of matchups are foregone conclusions, right, between the Devils and the Rangers, most likely, and the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. So keep an eye on all the lineups around the league. And, you know, before you place your bets, before you set your fantasy lineups or play DFS, certainly keep an eye on that, because that could make or break your cause this time of year. Another way to keep an eye on that is to watch NHL Puck Line, a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Definitely go check that one out, Nick.
Yes, for sure. And another way to do so is listen to the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast next week, next Monday, week 25, waiver wire edition. Pete, it's going to be great. So we'll talk then, okay, bud?
Sounds great, Nick. Have a great weekend, man.
You as well. That's Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. Many thanks to producer Bob Bender. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.